In Iraq today, six American soldiers were killed in separate roadside bombings south and west of Baghdad. And in yet another incident, two Iraqis employed by CNN were killed when their vehicle came under fire.
The continued violence comes as the U.S. military begins a major changeover of forces in Iraq. More than 200,000 soldiers will either be going to or leaving Iraq over the next few months. In one remote area, troops from the Army's 1st Stryker Brigade have already taken over from the 101st Airborne Division. NPR's Emily Harris reports.
It's day 10 since Captain Ken Hardesty took command of the border region in far northwest Iraq. He's giving orders for a raid on the home of a suspected weapons dealer.
If they don't lie to you and they tell you everything up front, we do the nice, we like you search, and you know, but if the guys lie to you or we find heavy weapons, then we tear the stuff apart.
You forgot. It's an Outlaws on three. One, two, three. Outlaws!
After a quick cheer, the troops climb in four distinctive Stryker vehicles for today's raid. Close the hatch, fire a few test rounds, and they're off. At the target house, soldiers approach the metal gate on foot.
Ask them to come out.
Kids in the house.
Kids are in the house.
Kids in the house.
Kids in the house.
Kids in the house.
Inside, they find three children and four women in the middle of dressing a bride's hair for her wedding.
Watch behind
them. One AK-47 rifle, which is allowed. Upstairs, a grain sack of spent AK magazines. The lady of the house had told the mission leader about the cartridges. She says the kids picked them up and brought them home. Sergeant Ashton Cannon thanks her and departs.
Thank you for your cooperation, and we apologize for interrupting your bridesmaid party.
The kids who chase after the Stryker patrol convince these soldiers they are welcome here. But their mission is now less to win the hearts and minds than to wean Iraqis from the assistance they've gotten used to and expect. Captain Hardesty.
Initially, when the 101st came in here, that there wasn't a functioning system. And so if they needed something, they came to the 101st and they helped them. And now when the mayor comes to me and says, I want to build this clinic, I need this money, to some extent I can help him. But largely I want to divert him to Mosul, which is his higher headquarters.
Mosul is the provincial capital. Money from Baghdad doesn't always get to the provincial offices as planned. Last month, Hardesty's commander had to step in to pay the salaries of some Iraqi security officers. And there are other problems that challenge the stability of local government, like water. A delivery truck slides through the mud in the town of Ba'aj on its weekly rounds to some of the 10,000 people without running water. The previous U.S. military unit bought some of the trucks, which use long hoses to fill metal tanks. Khalid Abdullah, at 18 years, the eldest son of this house that's getting water, says the Americans should fix the whole system, even though they didn't break it.
Americans promise us to improve everything, to reconstruct everything. Americans are the higher authority.
Baj is one responsibility of First Lieutenant Mike Irvine, but he says fixing the water system is not.
With any of the problems, we'll bring it up to the mayor and put it in his hands. How are you going to fix this? How are you going to get your people water?
Baj's mayor is Abdullah Thahad Muhammad Al-Jash, a leader in the biggest local tribe, the Shamar. They had little power under Saddam Hussein. Privately, the mayor says he can do nothing about the water problem. Publicly, he says it's his responsibility in part.
I think it's shared. Our responsibility, me and our friend coalition, it's shared. It's shared together.
Over the past 9 months, the U.S. has created structures of governance across Iraq, advisory councils at various levels that, after the handover of power at the end of June, are supposed to become responsible for the health and welfare of the Iraqi people. They could. Or cronyism, corruption, and doubts about legitimacy could cripple them. Talal Shalim Khalif is the director of Baj's water system. He says since the creation of the local city council, relations have worsened between the Shamar and the other local tribes, including his.
Shamar are very restricted to their tribe. So sometimes there may be some jobs to be offered to people or some contracts. They don't give it to qualified people. They give it to Shamar people.
The Americans here know that favoritism could derail democracy in Baj, but the Shamar are the majority.
The tribe in this area is, you know, 20,000, you know, and if we were to fall out of favor, that's not something we can compete with.
He doesn't think he'll have to. Shamar elders all tell him they want democracy. He believes they mean it, although he says they may not understand it the same way he and his soldiers do. Emily Harris, NPR News.